Good morning, Your Honors.
Morning.
My name is Joseph Garrity. I'm here on behalf of the appellants, Antigo Franchising. We're the plaintiffs in the underlying case, a case that was dismissed, wherein there was a count raised by the plaintiffs for a trademark infringement, which is the central issue of this appeal, whether or not it was a proper dismissal of our trademark action by the trial court. The complaint lays out the necessary elements that you need to plead for a trademark action. It lays out facts that were contained in the paragraphs prior to count one, which is the trademark count, in paragraphs 1 through 40, specifically stating what happened in this case in order for us to be able to make a claim for trademark infringement. This case is premised on a relationship between my client, a franchisor, and the defendants, a franchisee, who under a grant of license was able to use the mark Antigo in relationship to their business. The central part of the order that was entered by the judge was that there were exhibits attached to this complaint, and in those exhibits, a letter dated on January 15th on Antigo's letterhead sent by the defendants to, in the case of the exhibit, as an exemplary sample of a letter, it was sent to a client that was engaged in cleaning services through a franchisee through Antigo of Chicago.
But didn't the letter make absolutely clear that the franchise relationship with Antigo was expiring, that on midnight on January 25th it would close operations as Antigo of Chicago, that it had made arrangements with another company to take over servicing the account, that it hoped the client would be confident in the services that were provided by the new company. So far from creating confusion as to whether the new company was part of Antigo or sponsored by Antigo, it seems to me the letter makes clear to the client that the new company is a distinct entity having no relationship to Antigo, and that Antigo of Chicago would close operation. And, you know, just looking at it, it seems that the letter would prevent rather than cause consumer confusion. And so there can be no factual allegations that indict a plausible claim. And the district court properly granted the motion to dismiss.
Well, we disagree with the premise that this letter that was written on Antigo letterhead that says that there's been a big change in our company and that they would be going forward with in a situation that would best suit those clients represents to the public that this is going to be a different product. First, they said it's not going to be a different product. We're just going to be the same exact services and the same exact product under a different name. So it's the same services and product that they're alleging is going to be conducted by another company, which is in all reality them. But the interesting part about this is if you look at the timeline that's laid out in our complaint is that we were in a dispute as to whether or not they were going to renew their franchise agreement. That was taking place in January of 2009. On January 10th, we sent a letter terminating the right to operate as Antigo and to use the Antigo marks, which were granted under the agreement that's also attached to the complaint, the SRA, which is a sub-franchise rights agreement. And on January 14th, their attorneys responded back. It's a letter attached to the complaint saying that they don't agree, that they've been terminated, and that they're going to exercise their right not to renew. On the 15th, the next day, they're sending out letters. And at this point in time, there has been a revocation of any right to use the trademark at all. And that we were going to be moving under the provisions of the SRA in regards to a default. This letter indicates two things to me. One, that they actually used the mark after they'd been noticed, had actual notice that they'd been in default, and they had no more authority to use the mark. Two, that they operated until the 25th under the Antigo mark, because it says that at midnight of January 25th, we're going to stop operating. But they were terminated on the 10th of January, which is what the first letter that we sent that we attach says that you have no right to operate under this agreement because of your violations of the SRA. At that point in time, they're not authorized to use the mark. So their authorization to use that mark ceased when they received a letter terminating those rights.
I still don't understand how. I mean, I think the letter is real clear, just like my sister Judge Rovner said. It explicitly stated they're no longer associated with Antigo. And so my question is, how could a company ever say it had broken off relationships with a partner if invoking the partner's name would infringe the trademark?
They could have taken that position. They could have taken that position on their Image One letterhead and not sent it saying that their company, Antigo, is. And they didn't say that they were in default. They didn't say anything that was factually occurring at the time that they wrote this letter. What they said is that they're going to let this expire and they're going to move on and be another company.
Yeah, but then they could be accused of misrepresenting what the situation was. Perhaps, I mean, mm-hmm.
That's exactly right, Your Honor. They could be accused for misrepresenting what the situation was. And they did it under our mark.
What I'm saying, if they spelled it all out, then your characterization of how they think the relationship was going would be something you'd be complaining about that. What they said was it's terminated. They're letting the customers know that. I just don't understand. I mean, I think if we ruled for you, essentially it would be very difficult for companies to terminate relationships in this way.
Again, they didn't terminate a relationship. We terminated the relationship on the letter that was sent on the 10th and removed from that termination.
I mean, make it clear to whoever the clients were that the relationship was terminated. I mean, I don't think the clients care who terminated it or not. And mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is they're saying, you know, this is ending. It's a new day. We're doing these services under a new name.
Well, that's not, again, what happened. And that is what they've conveyed to the clients of Antigo. Under the SRA, this agreement that we've entered into with them, once we terminate them, we have the right to the clients. We have the right to franchisees. They all operate as Antigo clients, Antigo franchisees. What this letter is saying is that we're merely going to let this expire, and we're going to move on as another company. And by the way, just changing the name of the company, which, again, represent that in and of itself would probably be a violation of a trademark right, that you can't just put a McDonald's wrapper on a Whopper and say that that's from McDonald's. That's what's happening in this letter. And again, they used the Antigo letterhead. What they should have done if they wanted to do this in order to avoid a claim for trademark infringement is to use their Image One letterhead, which on the same day they did. Also attached to their complaint on January 15, 2011 was an Image One Facility Solution letter that went out to the client saying that the only thing that's going to be different is our name's going to be on the invoice, you pay us. And it says you have received a letter from Antigo Chicago, again, using and incorporating our trademark into this communication as Image One, regarding its transition to Image One facilities. The nub of our complaint, and this is what was raised in Twombly, is when you're looking at whether or not you have stated a cause of action that's plausible, the nub of our complaint is that they used our letterhead. It's Antigo Cleaning Systems, a registered trademark. It's big and bold on the top of their letter saying that they had the right to run out their agreement with us and to take over that business. They didn't have that right. They didn't have the right to represent that to anybody on our letterhead, which is our trademark claim, is that they shouldn't have, and they didn't have the authority or the authorization to use our letterhead to send out to people and to make it look to them as if it was authorized, that we had agreed that this was going to be the course of action, that there was an affiliation with us, Antigo, that this was going to be a proper course of action. But none of that was true. And that led to the confusion of people thinking that this was something that was sanctioned by Antigo. It wasn't. It's clear from what we pled in our complaint in the attachments that it wasn't sanctioned by Antigo. This is not a sanctioned use of our trademark. And it caused confusion because it looks as if we have said or agreed with them that they have the right to have all these clients, they have the right to keep all of their franchisees, all of which was in dispute at the time that they sent this letter.
Your main complaint is that the appearance was that those franchisees could stay with
Image One, yeah. And under the count three of this complaint that was dismissed, a supplemental state claim, we sued for breach of contract to say that that's exactly what they can't do. They can't keep these franchisees. They can't continue to operate. There's also you can't a non-compete that was involved in the agreement. They couldn't even continue to operate as a cleaning system. We're looking to enforce those contractual rights within this lawsuit. This particular count, though, goes towards the fact that they're conveying on our letterhead with our trademark some other story to people to say that it's okay, it's all the same, you're just going to get a new invoice with a different name on it. I mean, that's TAMA is probably the worst type of trademark infringement that you could be engaged in, which is to use somebody's name to say that I'm going to subvert that business and you're going to pay another company, Image One, instead of Anago. I couldn't think of a more pertinent violation of our right to have our mark controlled and used by our licensors in a method that we approve of. But we weren't given that right. They knew that we terminated them. They responded on the 14th of January, and on the 15th, they're taking their last gasp to send out these letters to these clients to say exactly what it says. There's no problem. We're just going to terminate, and we're going to continue on as Image One and divert all of that Anago business to them.
Did you respond? I know you're licensed. Did you respond to those franchisees?
We responded in the method that we thought was appropriate. On the 26th, we filed a lawsuit because we didn't want to have a situation where we're engaging in self-help. We have a right to go in front of a court and say this is a trademark violation. We have a breach of contract. That business belongs to us, and we were going to do it through a court of law instead of this self-help letter that was written on our letterhead by this defendant. That's exactly what we're complaining of in count one, is that that's not a proper course of action. It's not a proper use of our trademark. And although it may state that there's going to be a change of the source of those goods, it doesn't change the fact that it makes it look as if we've authorized that and we're in agreement with that. That was never the case. And so that's the problem that I have with the dismissal of that count. It's not the source of good argument that we're talking about. This infringement took place when we identified it. That one act of infringement, which is pled in our complaint, is enough for us to sustain a lawsuit for trademark violation. And that's exactly what we did. We have reason to believe that when we look at a letter, we were lucky enough to get this letter because someone sent it to us, and it says to whom it may concern. I don't think it's an unreasonable inference that this letter was sent to all of the clients. There's no reason why it would be specifically sent to this one client. And we're talking about hundreds of clients who received a letter on our letterhead stating that somehow there was an authorization for these accounts to simply move over to them and that they would start paying another company. If they wanted to do it, I wouldn't be standing here arguing to you today if it was done on Image One's letterhead. Clearly, they had the letterhead. On the same day, they sent another letter under the Image One letterhead. But that's not what they did. And we have a right to control the use of our trademark. That's what's granted to us. That's the agreement that they entered into with the SRA, that they will not use this trademark.
In a you're method in the, that we you're did in not your approve rebuttal of. Time, so okay. I don't know if you want to
I'm
say
I'm going to take
it.
A break. Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel.
Thank you. If it pleases the court, I'm going to shorten my argument based upon some of the comments of the court. I would like to point out the amended complaint that we're dealing with here was filed in March. So we were terminated in January. In March, they filed an amended complaint. It doesn't say we're using the Anago name. It doesn't say that we're using it on any basis. It doesn't say anything except in March, they filed this complaint stating that in January, my client, who was using the name, whose name was Anago of Chicago, we point out at page 3 of our brief that the contract itself requires the client to have an assumed name. The name of my client was Anago of Chicago. My client had customers. My client notified those customers that Anago of Chicago is going out of business, is not going to be servicing them, has no relationship with Antigo anymore, and there's a new company that will have no relationship with Antigo anymore. This is really not a trademark case, because if, as Judge Rovner stated, if they had a strong trademark and they didn't want us to be associated with that trademark, they would love this letter because it tells the customer we have nothing to do with them. And that's what trademark's all about. This letter does not say we're trying to associate ourselves with Antigo. It says we are not associated with Antigo. And it's an appropriate letter that somebody should say, good, you sent this out when you're terminated. You let everybody know. And then they come back in March with this amended complaint that still says, as counsel says, their case is based upon this letter that went out on the letterhead of the company that we were at that IMTN was at that point in time, and pointed out IMTN is going to go out of business and there's a new company. Their other counts, as counsel spoke about, those deal with restrictive covenants as to whether the new company is bound by a restrictive covenant or not, has nothing to do with trademark. This case was originally a diversity case. When they found out they didn't have diversity, they amended to say it's a trademark case. It is not a trademark case either. The district court in Florida, on the same grounds, dismissed the same trademark count, and we cite that in our brief also. I have nothing else to say except the fact that we did ask for attorney fees in our complaint based upon both sanctions and based upon the contractual term that says in case of litigation, the prevailing party gets attorney fees, and we would like to have attorney fees for having to go this far with this case. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, counsel. Security? Much time.
Well, I think that the explanation and argument that was just given, wherein opposing counsel said what this letter said was that we are going out of business, is proof positive of what I'm saying and when the negative impact that this letter had. There was no requirement that Antigo of Chicago had to go out of business. My client could have easily come into the city and continue to operate under Antigo. In fact, that's what they said in the termination letter that's also attached as an exhibit to this complaint, that they intended to take over this account, these accounts, these franchisees, and run this business. But that's what this letter conveys, that Antigo was going out of business on Antigo letterhead. And it's an improper use of our trademark. And it's patently obvious that that's what it was meant to convey, that there's not going to be an Antigo here to service you, and we're going to take over as Image One. All of that, a complete violation of the use of our trademark. There is no way that that would be an authorized use under the SRA. There is no way that that should be an authorized use of the trademark, even if we didn't have an agreement with them, for a competitor. Because at this point, they're a competitor. We've terminated them. They are now in competition with us. They cannot use our trademark to say that we are going out of business and that all of these accounts can simply go over to them. And that is supported by the SRA that's attached to this complaint and an exhibit thereto. It's supported by the letters going back and forth between the attorneys prior to this letter going out to all the clients. This is just self-help with our trademark bearing the badge that says that they are allowed to do it. And it's not authorized. It never was. I have no further arguments other than to say that the original complaint that was filed that I referred to had a count for trademark infringement in it, so the amended complaint continued to have a count for trademark infringement in it. And that's it, Your Honor. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.